Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Cannabis. As always, I am your host, Glenn Keenan. We're going to get started tonight. I want to talk a little bit, real quick, about what happened in 2017, what we had to go through. Quite a few people have asked, and there's a few people that have probably joined that know. But in 2017, back a little bit. 2016, you know, Ohio went medical. We approved for medical and went through. And a lot of people don't know at that time, that particular time, I was the president, CEO of West Central Ohio Normal. I was also in line to be state president of Normal over Ohio Normal at one time. But we went a lot of back and forth with Governor Kasich at the time going through this medical thing, writing the program that we thought a lot of us had a hand part in writing what we thought was going to be a good medical program. And then, you know, come to find out we got what we got. But we went to a lot of meetings afterwards, you know, when it became legal for, you know, medical use. And everybody that was there was told, yes, absolutely, you can get a doctor to prescribe you cannabis, and you can use cannabis, and what you have until the program is an affirmative defense because you are a medical patient legally in the state of Ohio in the program. So that's what we've done. We went and done everything that we were supposed to. We both become, you know, caregivers, and I had a few people that I just gave medicine to because we were part of a collective at that time with medical cards. So anyway, a guy come one night and picked up his medicine, and I gave him what he was supposed to get, and he left. Lo and behold, he got pulled over. And, of course, with him thinking that, you know, he's got his medical card and everything's in order, and, you know, nothing was over. Yeah, I got it from Glenn. Yes, my caregiver, yes. So that led them to thinking that, you know, I am a drug dealer because, yes, he had cannabis oil with him that he got from here. Yes, and it happened this way. So they raided our home and, you know, put me in handcuffs and tore my house apart. Well, first when they come to the door, they, you know, told me that, they, you know, they were here for any, you know, contraband or illegal drugs or any ill-gotten gains from it. So, you know, I said, well, it's not illegal drugs. It's medicine for me, but it's here. Here, I give you, this is what I have. Thinking I was within the right because I was a medical patient that was told that, you know, we can use cannabis if we have a medical card. You know, it's a, you know, affirmative defense. There's no trouble, no problem. So that's what we believe. And it's not just us. There's a lot of us. There was a lot of people that went and got medical cards and become medical patients of the state of Ohio at the time. And again, they come in. I gave them everything that they confiscated, took out of here as far as what was illegal drugs to them. They said that they didn't care about what our medical card said, that they didn't care because there's no medical program in the state of Ohio because their prosecutor told them this. So, lo and behold, I have to go to jail. So I spend the night in jail, and not just the night. I spent the next 27 days in jail fighting this from inside while my wife tried to get bail money. Mind you, it costs $13,000, just a little over 13 grand for me to get out of jail. Not only that, she went and paid the day before Thanksgiving in 2017 to get me home, paid my entire bail. They had me come over, and I signed my bond, my bail, and then ended up going back to jail for an additional 5 days. I'm on a paid bond, and I go back to jail. I spend another 5 days, which is after Thanksgiving, and I got that Monday, I got released, and with an ankle monitor. And I spent the next, 60 or 90 days or so with an ankle monitor, but we fought this stupid case for 3 years. And listen, it happens. It was in a stupid amount. Listen, the prosecutor, when he went to grand jury against Peggy and I, and listen, it wasn't about Peggy. He wanted me to take a deal. The first deal they come at me with was a really stupid, ignorant deal to begin with. I didn't take the deal. I just sat in jail more over this, not taking the deal. But there was people out here that helped fight for our case and was really helping us. It does. It really does suck. Anyway, we fought this case for 3 years. The prosecutor went to grand jury with over 100 charges against both of us, and they whittled them down to, I think we ended up with 17. I ended up with 17 felonies, and Peggy was looking at 16 felonies, for a total of 56 years in prison, which is absolutely ridiculous. It can happen, and even now they'll try to push it, and they can still do whatever they want because it's within their limit, within their right to do. But we fought this case for 3 years and ended up, coming out with, ended up getting 5 years of probation. We did half of our time and was able to get off probation. We've been off now since 2020 of probation, but it was the fact that, being medical patients, and yeah, we technically didn't, the program wasn't technically up and running, but plenty of our senators and plenty of our representatives told us exactly the same thing. Listen, there was quite a few people. There was a lot of people that was there when our representatives told us, listen, if you have the medical card from a doctor, you can continue to get your cannabis where you get your cannabis to treat yourself, and nobody's going to question you. Right on. Yeah, well, we thought that we were doing what we, and listen, a very sweet, nice lady, Rhonda out here, she will tell you absolute verbatim that I am not, she was in the room with us at the same time when all these senators, when our state representatives were standing there and telling us, this is why we were talking about the program after the program was signed into law. Yes, there was a lot of things that was done, that could have been done differently, that should have been done differently, but wasn't, because we were thought, and it wasn't just us, trust and believe, between 2016 when it became, medical in November, and when the program actually first dispensary opened up, there was a lot of, trust and believe, we did a lot of court support for a lot of people, not just for us. And there was a lot of people that did court support for us. And we get a big shout out to Kerry Cannon, because honest to God, if it wasn't for Kerry Cannon during our case, I couldn't tell you. I don't know what I would have done without Kerry Cannon fighting for Kerry, for Peggy and I, as much as he did. Kerry, it was a big instrument in getting our case to where it was, to the point where, and you can go and look at our case file, and I'll give you the case number if anybody wants it. If you're not, you can personally call me, and I will give you the case number, and you can look it up. Kerry Cannon's name was specifically mentioned. All of the letters that were wrote for us that were sent to her, the picture collage, it was people that she had collected was sent to the judge, and it was entered into our case. Kerry Cannon was a big, huge instrument in absolutely what happened with our case turning the way it did. And this is truthful. Peggy and I are the first people in the history of cannabis prohibition that was not only charged with the possession and use of cannabis from the very beginning. We went 5 months without using our medicine because it's considered medicine for us, because we are not well people. We're sick. We use cannabis for medicine and have for a long time. But 5 months into our case, the judge court ordered, it's also in writing, court ordered that we are to use cannabis. It was also placed in our bond. It was our fifth stipulation in our bond that we were not allowed to be in an establishment that served alcohol by the drink, but we were to continue to use our medical cannabis as medicine prescribed by the doctor. And again, this is 2017, just beginning of 2018, and again, there's still no dispensaries open. So essentially, the judge court ordered us and put it in our bond to use cannabis. Well, where do you think that let cannabis come from? It had to come from somewhere, and yet there was still no dispensaries open, per what you were saying. Yes, absolutely. There was no program until the end of 2018. But at the beginning of 2018, when our case was going through, we were court-ordered, and not only court-ordered, it was put in our bond to use cannabis as far as medicine. And that's kind of, it's truthful. It's in our docket. It's in our paperwork. It's public record. Our case has been cited several times now because it's case law. When the judge ordered us to use cannabis, when he put it in our bond to use cannabis, those became set precedents for a lot of people, and it helped a lot of people out in the state of Ohio that was going through a lot of the same stuff that we were going through. And thankfully, our case drug out long enough that the judge made a lot of things accessible for people that were going through the same thing that we were going through. Peggy and the prosecutor absolutely admitted to that he had no problem, doing what he was doing to Peggy because he wanted me to take a deal. And when I took a deal, he would drop everything against Peggy. But the deal that they were offering was, no human should have had to be put through that to begin with. Nobody needs to go to jail. Nobody needs to be prosecuted over a plant. That is the bottom line. That's what it comes down to. Peggy and I suffered a lot. We went through a lot. Peggy, through this, with her MS, which is a lot worse than, her MS is a serious thing. It's very serious. And I had to watch what it was doing to her, going through the case. It was killing her, literally. And it did finally come down to where the judge pretty much put an end to it and said, listen, you need to fill out these paperwork. We need to get through this. We filled out our PSIs and turned them in. We went to our final hearing and ended up getting probation for 5 years out of it. He didn't give us a mandatory fine. He didn't give us a mandatory suspension. He didn't give none of that. He did say that he did not believe that this was going on the way it was going on. And that was the end of that. And we ended up serving our time, and we did what we had to do to get through our case. And it hurt a lot. But we were glad to get through our case on this side of not having to go to prison, because looking at 56 years in prison was a very serious thing. And honestly, it all boiled down to 2 grams. 2 grams of cannabis oil is what I had given to one of my patients. And that's what they were. They were as a patient taking care of a patient. I was a patient myself, was a caregiver. I am still a caregiver, have been a caregiver since 2017, since we become medical patients. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm still a caregiver for, you know, people, and I'm going to continue to do what we have to do, because it's right. It's just the way it is. It's right. And I will continue to fight for anybody that has to go through this. And so if you or anybody that's going through this, please definitely reach out, because we're first and foremost, Creative Care Beacon, and that's what we are. We do court support, letter writing campaigns. We will show up to court for you. That is what the Creative Care Beacon side is. It is we are an outreach group that is there for people, you know, and we pride ourselves on, you know, we're the ones there in the darkness for you. And that's our slogan is we are the light in the darkness. So we don't know if you're going through something. If you're going through something, you know, my number is posted. Please definitely reach out to me. You know, you're more than welcome to call anytime, but I'm not doing a show, so please don't call right now at the show. But definitely, you know, if you're going through something, you're more than welcome to reach out. But during the show, please call 515-605-9346 to be part of it. Anyway, let's jump over here. I want to talk with, bring on Michael and talk with him. Let's see if we can. All right, Michael, how are you doing, my friend?
I was watching along on Facebook.
Right on. So listen, you know, I wanted to talk. You know, I'm sorry I took more time than I needed to. but I just wanted to talk real quick with you about genetics and about, you know, cloning and stuff, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of confusion in the group, and I've seen a lot of people talking. And listen, yes, it's nice to be able to buy and pick up clones for 20, 25 bucks, you know, 15, 20 bucks, 30 bucks. Those are nice clones. I'm not going to argue that. Yes, they have nice genetics. But it's not always about buying, you know, the cheaper clones. You know, somebody that is a cloner, somebody that, you know, does this because they care about what they do. You know what I mean? Somebody that clones cannabis plants because they love doing it. It's not about the money. Yes, making a little bit of money on the side is fine, but there's so much, you know, and listen, you know, if people would actually get right to it, there's a lot that goes into making really good clones from really good genetics, because you've got to grow the mother to begin with. You've got to have good, strong genetics in a mother plant in order to cut clones to begin with. And then after you cut clones, you've got to make sure that those clones survive and strive. They're going to be as good, if not better, than what the mother is. You know, and somebody that prides themselves and takes their time and, you know, really gets to the plant and knows the plant, I've seen clones for $700, $800, $900, you know, and those are, you know, little tiny baby cut clones and that's got one or two sprigs on it. You know, I've seen, you know, a lot of expensive clones. But then I've seen really super good genetics at a fairly good marketed price.
And don't understand the full scope of what it truly takes. And I mean, it's a new market, you know. So I think two things, like you said, you know, the $20, $25 clone might be a good clone. But then again, it might not be, because at that price range, it's usually susceptible to either lower quality clone or potentially getting something like HLP, which is basically like an autoimmune system disease for cannabis plants. And once you get in your garden, you got to reset. You got to get rid of everything, sterilize everything. You can bring spider mite or fungal mats, or you're a lot more susceptible to you know, problems when buying cheaper clones, because like you said, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of maintenance to keep good, clean clones, you know. I've seen, back in the day when I don't do, you know, the clones too which I'm going to start to get into more, and I'm going to do it differently. I'm not going to just buy clones to sell them, you know. I want to do breeder cuts and stuff on my own gear that I'm working on and stuff, you know. But to get back to it, it's just like, it takes you years of experience to understand that you know that because you've gone through the experience of buying the cheaper clones and seeing what they are, and then even at a $50 price point, you know, you got to figure by the time you grow the mother out, because that's the right way to do it. You want to originally grow out, see what's there, and make sure that it's true and what it is they say it is before you put it out and do the market, because all it takes is one bad pickup where it's not what it's supposed to be, or it comes out, or you have other problems, and then your name's tarnished, you know. And I have a feeling that's what's going to come, you know, down the road, is a lot of these clones that are available on different groups, Ohio Grow groups, or on Marketplace, or wherever, there's a lot of good ones. But, you know, I'm not knocking them all, and I think that right now it's kind of like the market's going to end up leveling itself out once quality and, you know, affordability come in, you know, because I understand, people have to understand also, because I've had a lot of people attack me because they'll, you know, ask how much for a clone, and I'll say, well, I wouldn't pay any less than $100 for a clone, because anything less than that, I think it would be, you know, somewhat of a sketchy situation, because a good, you know, just like it, throughout anything, tattoo work, carpentry work, anything, cheap work isn't good, and good work isn't cheap, you know.
Right.
And, you know, as far as, like, getting your hands on the clone, you know, it could take years to hunt through thousands of seeds to find that one clone, you know. So you have, all people don't understand that. So that's where the price point comes from. It doesn't come from people just wanting to get rich off of one clone. They don't understand that it could take you, you know, you could be hunting for 3 years just to get a few clones, you know, out of hundreds and hundreds of seeds that you pay, you're buying for already, you know, so it's a process, you know, to get your hands on the clones, and in order, like, either a wholesaler or a cloner who's not only hunting from seed, but buying through reputable clone mills, or whatever you want to call them, that hunt through gear and have elite genetics and stuff like that, you know, really special stuff, that, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about the new thing, trying something new and all that. And the money behind that people don't realize gets dumped into this, and it's a trickle-down effect. So it costs them, you know, potentially thousands of dollars and maybe tens of thousands of dollars just to take all that time and run through all that gear to find those selected elite clones. Then they're going to put them out to the market at a higher price. I've seen clones go for $10,000, even more,
you know,
because the rarer they are, the harder to come by, you know, the more somebody's willing to pay, and especially in a commercial viable situation where they're trying to fill a whole set of genetics, they have to know that it's clean, they have to know that it won't harm on them, they have to know that it produces, it hits all the markers, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think as far as clones go, it's going to take time, because I watched it in Michigan, I watched it in Illinois, I watched it in Virginia, I watched it in New York, and it's still going on.
Right.
With, you know, a lot of people coming out and wanting to get into the clone game, and maybe they're well-hearted about it. They're not exactly wanting to rip people off, but they don't understand the true nature of being a quality cloner, you know?
Well, see, here, I'm going to bring this up. You know, and listen, the show's going to end before, the radio show's going to end before the actual show is. So, all right, let's address it. But anyway, the radio show is going to end, but I'm going to keep going with this because there's a lot of good questions, and this is what we'd like to do, and this is part of the education that we'd like doing. Somebody posted, and I can't see the name, but all I see is Facebook user. It says that I can get seeds from top breeders that won cannabis cups for $9 to $15 a seed. You don't get how clones are worth that much. Well, I'll explain that to you because, yes, you can absolutely buy seeds from cannabis cup winners, and those are nice seeds. But somebody that is a cloner, and I'm just not a cloner. I'm a geneticist because I've got certificates that says that I'm a geneticist and I can do this. But the clones that I work with, the mothers, let's start with that. the money that aren't just your run-of-the-mill, you know, grab this seed and grab this seed. They've been bred. The plants that I have growing as mothers have started as a mother and a father of two other completely different plants to begin with. And got seeds from one of those that I grew to a mother and decided that this is where it is. I killed the father off, took him out of the room, and went, let the mother of the father grow out, and took the daughter and grew daughter, which was a herm, and got seeds from that. And then I went through the seeds and grew seeds out, looking for a different specific. And if I didn't like the plant, listen, I threw it away, cut it down. I was looking for a specific plant that I wanted, and I found that plant. I found the specific mother that I wanted to grow that I could take clones off. So now the time that I took to find a mother and a father to grow, to produce babies, to go through the baby's baby, to get seeds, to grow a mother, you know, took a lot of, you know, took quite a little bit. So anyway, finding that specific mother to cut my clones from, and then, you know, not only cut the clone, I have to find another mother, because that mother is not going to stay a mother for very long, because you can only take so much from it. Yes, you can continue to re-veg a mother for a very long time, and you can continue to cut off them. But once you've done that so much off of her, she's tired. You've got to think of, you know, a plant like you. You're eventually, you've got to have rest. Eventually, you're going to get tired. Eventually, you're going to be to the point where you are not viable no more. And that's exactly the way it is. So then you have to find another mother of a better quality of your mother that you've got to grow, because then now those clones are no longer F1 clones, because now they become F2, because you've got a second mother from your first original mother that came from a mother and a father to begin with. So it takes a lot of work to find the specific plant. And yet you can go a plant and you can clone off of it. Absolutely. You can take any plant out of a bag of seed and plant it and get you some, and you can cut clones. Absolutely. But what are you going for?
With all sincerity, I have been popping seed for, you know, from every breeder that you could think of, all of the top tier breeders, all the ones that want cannabis stuffs, all of them. And here's the thing. I have popped packs of seed from top tier, and I'm not one to put it out there. I don't know, because everybody, I want to enjoy the experience. Not everybody's experience is going to be the same as mine. But I could buy a $150, $200 pack of seed from a top-tier breeder of a really nice strain. I could grow all of them out, so if they're regular, I'm going to have to sift through and see, pick the males from the females. If I'm just going toward hunting clones, I'm not even breeding at this point. I'm just hunting clones. I pop that whole pack of seed. I take the time to pop the seed, germinate them, grow them up, clone them to save them in case it's something special. So I got to hold that, keep that alive, then grow that plant out for the next 3 months. Harvest it, sample it, and through that whole process, it takes time, money, and experience to know what you're doing. And then to all that, it could just be a dud. But then, you know, all of those, there could be something special, but it's not going to be clone worthy.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Hang on, stay right here with us. You guys on the radio side, thank you guys for joining us. You guys join us next week for another edition of Cannabuse. If you guys are on the radio and you guys have Facebook, please jump over to Facebook and you can find us at Ohio Growers ADV, and you can finish watching the show there. Thank you again, you guys joining us here on the show. You guys have a wonderful and good night. Thank you.